San Francisco, town, city of gleaming spires. People live here. Golden Gate Bridge. Ah, the Romans came here. They built buildings with things. Ducks, cows. Cows who look weird. And convicts. Criminal element. And San Francisco is no exception. Criminals who look quite ordinary but are more criminal than you could ever guess are taken in their prison transportation down, down, towards Alcatraz. Once a Native American paradise where people worshipped the gods of the Native Americans, but now a prison as the guard tightens the chains and signals to the people of Alcatraz, to the prison wardens of Alcatraz, prisoners coming, the torture gear there. He tightens the chains, keeps them tight. The man in the back says, no, no more drugs for you, mate. You can't afford any till Tuesday. Yes, drugs are rife. Everyone here is in for a big old crime. The woman in red here, she's in for stealing hubcaps. What a hellish crime. This woman here will never see her family again. No, they've been sent somewhere. But they try to keep their spirits up, try to keep laughing. Gallows humor, yes, it happens in all prisons. Alcatraz. As the FBI agent in the background takes photos of likely troublemakers, the guard signals again, for God's sake, Alcatraz, prisoners, prisoners coming. Coming now. Prisoners coming. People holding on to bananas as more drugs money is exchanged for favors and drugs mainly. The FBI woman takes a close-up photo of somebody's kneecaps. How tight can chains be pulled, for God's sake, man? Alcatraz.
I got out of here in 65, and I got 30 years, plus a few months. In the 30 years I've been here, I found out people from even Russia and all the places, they're all the same.
Freddy Dingo there, a few wise words from him. FBI agent looks on as a woman in red stares in terror. The prisoners are led off to Alcatraz. As special FBI agents check the prison transportation vehicle to make sure no one has sneaked inside and sellotaped themselves to the ceiling or hidden underneath disguised as a wheel. Freddie and Jeff Stingo here, famous bank robbers, being taken to Alcatraz at the end of their life. Alcatraz. In the sun, it's almost pretty. It's got a lighthouse. It's got a big thing at the back that looks like a monster, but no. It's Alcatraz. Once an island paradise, now a penitentiary. Tonight's show is brought to you by the prisoners of Alcatraz.
As well, yeah. Yes, I'm a professional transvestite, so I can run about in heels and not fall over, because, you know, if women fall over wearing heels, that's embarrassing, but if a bloke falls over wearing heels, then you have to kill yourself, you know? It's end of your life. It's quite difficult. So, San Francisco, not San Fran, no, apparently not. I didn't know that, you know. I would have said San Fran, but they go, no, you don't like San Fran. No, fuck it. Or, what's the other one you know? Oh, Frisco. You don't like that either. And you're a city of snakes, I see, as well. Everyone goes to a gig with a snake in their bags. No other cities have snakes as much as you. You seem to... I've been in New York, no fucking snakes. Paris, no snakes. London, no snakes. San Francisco, full of fucking snakes. We did that at school. So you can call it the city. Okay, so, and you don't tell tourists about the weather in July and August, do you? Don't tell them. Oh, they're all going around in summer shirts going, Jesus Christ. I can't see. Fog, there's fog. And it really shifts here, your fog. I saw John Carpenter's film, The Fog. I've seen it a few times, and that fog shifts it. And I thought, well, you know, that's Hollywood. That's fog, you know, moving fast. But your fog is that speed. Could be late to get in someone's face somewhere, you know. It runs down the road, doesn't it? Yeah, faster than the fucking taxis. Of which there are five. You're a no taxi city, are you? Five taxis all going, no, I've got people in. Hours. And then when you get in, they don't know where they're going. I have to tell the guy, get in the back, I'll drive. He's sitting in the back going, well, I don't know, you know. I've only lived here 4 million years. But cable cars, they're fun. Everyone gets on board and becomes a rhesus monkey. No one talks on a cable car. They just hang and stare. And the guy in the front, with no steering wheel at all, just goes, what the fuck? What the fuck is this? Pulling levers. Is it four levers that just do fuck all? It's in... And he's always ringing that bell going, help, ding, ding, ding. Endless bell ringing. What is he, Hunchback of Notre Dame? No bell. Him and the guy from the stock market, the same person, I think. At the end of the stock market, they always ring a bell. It's the same bell. Oh, yes. Never link those two together again. Yes, so, I was going to be in the army when I was a kid. Yes, and I say that and people go, oh, good. No, I was going to be in the army when I was a kid. Because if you're transvestite, you're actually a male tomboy. That's where the sexuality is. Yeah, it's not drag queen. No, gay men have got that covered. And this is male tomboy. And people do get that mixed up and they put transvestite there. No. A little bit of a crowbar separation, thank you. And gay men, I think, would agree. And it's male lesbian. That's really where it is, okay? Because it's true, because most transvestites fancy girls, so fancy women, so that's where it is. So running, jumping, climbing trees, putting on makeup when you're up there, that's where it is. And I used to keep all my makeup in the squirrel hole up the tree. And the squirrel keep makeup on one side, and they keep nuts on the other side. And sometimes I get up that tree, that squirrel will be covered in makeup. La 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 la. Oh. What? Fuck off. He seemed to say. And they always eat, squirrels always eat nuts with two hands, always two hands. And occasionally they stop and go, as if they're going, did I leave the gas on? No, I'm a fucking squirrel. And occasionally they go, fucking nuts. Fed up with them, always. I long for a grapefruit. Yeah, so that's very much like the army. And the running, jumping, climbing trees is. Not the squirrel bit, the trees bit. And I was. I was into a lot of the army stuff, which is the running, jumping, standing still, found you, flag, look, hat, you know, bang. I liked all that stuff. The gun thing, I like blowing up milk bottles, you know, kill the milk bottles, explode milk bottles. Yes, so it seemed fun. It's a thing of power in your hands. Because there's all this National Rifle Association, and everyone in America is, I mean, 13-year-olds keep going out, and they get hold of weapons by going to their grandfather's arsenal. Oh, boy, the howitzer, the M16 machine gun, the Uzi. What the fuck's the grandfather doing? This kid down in Arkansas just helped himself to a ton of military weapons and went and blew away his school, you know. And they say the National Rifle Association says that guns don't kill people. People do. But I think the gun helps, you know. I think it helps. I just think just standing there going, bang! That's not going to kill too many people, is it? You'd have to be really dodgy on the heart to have that. Bang, bang, boom, bang, ratatat, boom, bang. I think they should just try that, you know. But, yeah, shooting clay pigeons. I think, yeah, go for that. Shooting clay pigeons are fuckers. Yeah. Come round your house, whiz through. Woo, woo, woo. They do nothing. They don't even eat flies, you know. Spiders eat flies, so they're all right. You know, spiders keep them, you know. Flies don't eat fuck all, so kill them. And clay pigeons, everyone shoots them in the air. Wait till they land, then go up the clay pigeon. Much easier. Yeah. So, I didn't join the army, as you might have noticed. And because there's not much makeup in the army, is there? No? They only have that nighttime look, and that's a bit slapdash, isn't it? That's a bit... And they look a mess. And so you can't join. Even though the American Armed Forces have a distinct policy of don't ask, don't tell towards the alternative sexualities. If you're a bloke wearing a lot of makeup, you know, I don't think they need to ask, really. And so you can't join. They go, no, you can't. It's wrong shade of lipstick for the army, I'm afraid. And they're missing a huge opportunity here, because we all know one of the main elements of attack is the element of surprise. So what could be more surprising than the 1st Battalion, Transvestite Brigade? Airborne wing. The airborne wing parachuting into dangerous areas with fantastic makeup. And a fantastic gun. And the opposing forces going, fucking hell, look at these guys. Hey, look at that guy. They've got guns. They've got guns. Jesus, where's my gun? Bugger. I was so surprised. Were you surprised? I was surprised. Anyway, so yeah, so boom, boom, boom. And yeah, also if you're a transvestite, you get lumped into that weirdo grouping. You know, there was a guy in the Bronx when I was in New York. There was a guy in the Bronx. He was living in a cave, like you do, and he was coming out and he was shooting at geese and a lot of weird things going on with this guy. And they found, in his cave, the police picked him up, they found a collection of women's shoes and they thought, well, maybe he's a transvestite. And if he is, he's a fucking weirdo transvestite. I'm much more in the executive transvestite area. Travel the world, yes. It's much more executive. Like J. Edgar Hoover, what a fuckhead he was. They found out when he died he was a transvestite and they go, well, that explains his weird behavior. Yeah, fucking weirdo transvestite. Executive transvestite. It's a lot wider community, more wide than you'd think. Yes. And I grew up in Europe, where the history comes from. And, oh, yeah. You tear your history down, man. 30 years old, let's smash it to the floor and put a car park here. I have seen it in stories. I saw, you know, something in a program on something in Miami, and they were saying, we've redecorated this building to how it looked over 50 years ago. People are going, no, surely not, no. No one was alive then. Well, we got tons of history lying about the place, big old castles, and they just get in the way. We're driving, oh, fucking castle, have to drive around. Because Disney came over and built Euro Disney, which now, and they built, you know, the Disney castle there. And then everyone said, you better make it a bit bigger. They've actually got them here. And then they're not made of plastic. We got tons of them, because you think we all live in castles. And we do all live in castles. We all got a castle each. We're up to here with fucking castles. We just long for a bungalow or something. And I grew up in the 70s when it was a period of, you know, the careers advisor used to come to school and he used to get the kids together and say, look, I advise you to get a career. What can I say? That's it. And he took me aside. He said, what do you want to do, kid? What do you want to do? Tell me your dreams. I said, I want to be a space astronaut, go to outer space, discover things that have never been discovered. He said, look, you're British, so scale it down a bit, all right? All right, I want to work in a shoe shop then. Discover shoes that no one's ever discovered, right at the back of the shop on the left. And he said, look, you're British, so scale it down a bit, all right? All right, I want to work in a sewer then. Discover sewage that no one's ever discovered. And pile it on my head and then come to the surface and sell myself to an art gallery. He said, what the fuck have you been smoking, eh? Certainly haven't been smoking in a bar in California, that's for certain. Because you can't. No smoking in bars now, and soon no drinking and no talking. Be careful, California. You're supposed to be the crazy state, the out there wild ones, you know? In the future, everyone's going to say, come down to the library, we'll have a wild time, shall we? Don't know where that fucking book is, mate. It could be anywhere. There's a lot of them about. Yeah, that was it. There was a spirit of ex-empire, this thing of things can't be done. Whereas in America, I always felt there was a spirit of can be done, the pioneer thing. Go, do it, what do you want to do? I want to put babies on spikes. Go, then. Go, what a wonderful, it's American dream. Hi, I'm Crazy Eddie. I put babies on spikes. Do you want a rack of babies? We got babies on racks. They taste of chicken. They do. Babies taste of chicken. Cannibals say that human flesh tastes of chicken, so babies must taste of chicken. And chickens taste of humans. Good. I'm glad you're coming with me on that. Yes. So, this is all true. And, so, yeah. So we had empires. In Europe, we had empires. Everyone had France and Spain and Britain and Turkey. The Ottoman Empire, full of furniture for some reason. And the Austro-Hungarian Empire, famous for fuck all. Yes, all they did was slowly collapse like a flan in a cupboard. And the German Empire, very organized, always build an empire. Einstein, build an empire. Very Prussian. And then they'd celebrate with the World War and then lose the whole fucking empire by the end of it. In the 30s, Hitler, Czechoslovakia, Poland, France, Second World War, Russian front, not a good idea. Hitler never played Risk when he was a kid. Because, you know, playing Risk, you could never hold on to Asia. That Asian, Eastern European area, you could never hold it, could you? 7 extra men at the beginning of every go, but you couldn't fucking hold it. Australasia, that was the one, Australasia. All the purples, get everyone on Papua New Guinea and just build up and build up. And Hitler ended up in a ditch covered in petrol on fire. So, that's fun. I think that's funny. Because he was a mass-murdering fuckhead. And that was his honeymoon as well. Double trouble. Hey. Ava, let's marry him. Where should our honeymoon be? Well, in a ditch covered in petrol on fire. I've already arranged it upstairs. Oh, how romantic, Adolf. Yes, I know. Fun. What a bastard. And he was a vegetarian and a painter, so he must have been going, I can't get the fucking trees. Damn, I will kill everyone in the world. He was a mass murdering fuckhead, as many important historians have said. And but the other mass murderers got away with it. Stalin killed many millions, died in his bed. Well done there. Pol Pot killed 1.7 million Cambodians, died under house arrest, age 72. Well done indeed. And the reason we let them get away with it is because they killed their own people. And we're sort of fine with that. Oh, help yourself, you know. We've been trying to kill you for ages, so you kill your own people. Right on that. Seems to be. Hitler killed people next door. Oh, stupid man. After a couple of years, we won't stand for that, will we? And Pol Pot killed 1.7 million people. We can't even deal with that. I think, you know, we think if somebody kills someone, that's murder, you go to prison. You kill 10 people, you go to Texas, they hit you with a brick, that's what they do. 20 people, you go to a hospital, they look through a small window at you forever. And over that, we can't deal with it, you know? Somebody's killed 100,000 people. We're almost going, well done, well done. You killed 100,000 people? You must get up very early in the morning. I can't even get down the gym. Your diary must look odd. Get up in the morning, death, 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 lunch. Death, 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 afternoon tea, death, 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 quick shower. You know, so I suppose we're glad that Pol Pot's under house arrest. You know, 1.7 million people, at least we know where he is, under house arrest. Just don't go in that fucking house, you know? I know a lot of people who would love to be under house arrest. They bring you your food. You just stay here. All right. Have you got any videos? You know, you just sit there. So, and Pol Pot was a history teacher, and Hitler was a vegetarian painter. So, mass murders come from the areas you least expect it. I don't know how the flip comes over, but it happens. So, yeah, so there was a lot of that, and we built up empires. We stole countries. That's what you do. That's how you build an empire. We stole countries with the cunning use of flags. Yeah. You just sail around the world and stick a flag in. I claim India for Britain. And they go, you can't claim us. We live here. 500 million of us. Do you have a flag? We don't need a bloody flag. It's our country, you bastard. No flag, no country. You can't have one. That's the rules that I've just made up. And I'm backing it up with this gun that was lent from the National Rifle Association. That was it, you know. And Queen Victoria became Empress of India. She never even fucking went there, you know. She was one of our more frumpy queens. They're all frumpy, aren't they? Because it's a bad idea when cousins marry. Bottom of the gene pool, you know, you're just scraping the barrel there. Haven't got enough for any more you royals there, sorry. First rule of genetics, spread the genes apart, you know. But the royals are just obsessed with it. Are you a royal family? Are you a royal member? Well, then you can marry me because you're the same gene pool and our IQs will go down the toilet. Fantastic. That's why there's no, you know, crazy royals. They're all kind of, hello, hello, what do you do? You're a plumber. What on earth is that? So, yeah. And the Second World War, after the Second World War, that's when all the empires sort of dissolved. And we came first in the Second World War, but we were financially fucked by the end of the Second World War. Because there was a period of time, it was just us and the Nazis. And they'd been making weapons for ages. They had a head start. We were going, get the tanks out, we haven't got any tanks, get that ice cream van out there, get it out. Kill. All right, oh, fuck it. Fuck off. Everything, just throw everything at them. That's not harder. Orange fruities and zooms. Throw the zooms. Fuck off, you bastard. Pots and pans. Get pots. Just throw the pots and pans at them. So by the time America came in, because you were watching a U.S. cavalry film, because the U.S. cavalry always comes in just towards the end of the film. Okay, let's go, America. Ah, I love the smell of Europe in the morning. So, how are you doing? And we were going, fucking hell, where have you been? Having breakfast. So, what's going on? Hey. So, America did well. Russia did well, and they deservedly so, because 500,000 American soldiers died, 500,000 British soldiers died, and about 26 million Russian soldiers died, soldiers and civilians. And that's just 50 times as many. It's just unfucking believable. You know, and no one mentions this. These are just figures I discovered. And that's why they put up... Because, I mean, Napoleon had been steaming in there, you know, 100 years before. I'm going to kill them, I'm going to go, oh, it's a bit cold,
Christ.
Okay, bad idea. And then Hitler, I've got a better idea. Oh, it's the same idea. So no wonder they set up the Eastern Bloc. You know, they wanted a buffer zone. It wasn't fair, but that's what they did. So they're kind of, you know, that's where they're coming from. There's about 20 million Nazi Germans died, but they did start it. They did start that one. And, yeah, so it was that. And France hated the war because, you know, southern France was collaborating with the Germans. Embarrassing. So since then, they've been kind of spiky and kind of French. And... I'm very positive on the French. My family way back was French, so I'm just, yeah, I go with it. But they are kind of, well, fucking French at times. All of Europe, you must do this. Well, we're not going to. We're going to have a sandwich. And Germany and Japan, they do seem to have a natural instinct in a very generalized way for organization and being military. But, you know, there's a very strong Green Party there. Now there's kids with beards. It's getting okay. And I just think that Japan and Germany should be the peacekeepers of the world. They should be parachuted in whenever something breaks out. Parachute Germans and Japanese in. Who'll go, look, we've done this before. We've done the killing. Hello. Take it from us. Just chill out. All right? And that they organize peace really efficiently, really quickly. All right, peace. Peace is organized. It'd be brilliant if they could do that. That's their destiny, man. Yeah. And Italy invented fascism in 1922. Mussolini said, right, we're all fascists, but most Italian people are always on scooters going, ciao. And they're into football and life, and they're not fascists, you know. It's like, we're all fascists. All right, ciao. No helmet on. All those 50s films like Roman Holiday. It's just like that. Everyone's just cool and hangs out. So after the Second World War, the whole, you know, world was going, come on, Europe, give these countries back. Come on, you know, we've had a bloody war. Let's give them back. Britain, what? What's that behind your back? Oh, it's India and a number of other countries. Give them back. Oh, all right. There's that one. Falkland Islands. Oh, we need the Falkland Islands. For strategic sheep purposes. Yeah. And then it was a case of no empire, no longer. But in America, it was different. The founding fathers landed in 16... both of them. They set off from Plymouth and landed in Plymouth. How lucky is that? This is Plymouth. We've just come from Plymouth. We've gone round the circle. Lads, back on the bus. They finally got there and said, this is where our God has brought us to. We can practice our religion here. We can raise a family. There's nobody here. Excuse me? There's nobody here? Yes, a land empty of human existence. Who the fuck are these guys? What's all this, please? No, we don't want any of your food, thank you very much. Just put some clothes on. Meanwhile, that winter, excuse me, do you have any food? I love all this, lovely idea. Yes, I'm sorry, we're a bit brusque when we first arrived. We didn't realize you owned the entire country. But you have no system of ownership. Interesting. Maybe that can come in useful later. Food, thank you very much, very nice. Yes, there's more of us coming, but we all keep our promises. So the American government lied to the Native Americans for many, many years. And then President Clinton lied about a relationship. And everyone was surprised. A little naive, I feel. When we were kids, we lied our heads off. I didn't do it. I was dead at the time. I was on the moon. With Steve. And your dad's going, I haven't even accused you of anything yet. Oh, all right. What's the question? What? Did you brush your teeth? No. Yes. What's correct? Yeah. I was dead at the time. Then when you're more mature, you do start telling the truth in odd situations. I'm sorry, I've broken a glass. I've broken this. Is that an expense? I've broken it. I'll pay for that. I'm sorry. And you do that so that people in the room might go, what a strong personality that person has. I like to have sex with people with strong personalities. And I broke other things, I've smashed that, and that's gone, and I've just thrown the cat out the window, and... Ooh, yeah. So, but, you know, perjury. You know, if you commit perjury, I don't care. Don't give a shit. I don't think you should, because you grade murder. You have murder one, murder two. You realize that there can be a difference in the level of murder. So there must be a difference in the level of perjury. Perjury one is when you're saying there's no Holocaust when, you know, 10 million people have died in it. And perjury nine is when you said you shagged someone when you didn't. You know, it's... swingers. So, yeah, so, it was, so in America, the Native American situation and with slavery didn't do very well. And in Europe now, we've got a new thing, the European Union, 500 million people, 200 languages, no one's got a clue what they're saying to each other. But it's the cutting edge of politics in a very extraordinarily boring way. Because we've got 15 different countries in the European Union at the moment, and trying to get them to decide anything is a little bit. What is it? Oh no, back up. You're in them. You're with him. And, you know. For 18 years, we had a government in Britain who was a right-wing government, and their policy towards Europe was one of no. I can't. Now we've got a government whose policy is much more bonjour, hola, tac, ta, bang, 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 cha. Britain needs to be in the driving seat of Europe, in the driving seat, or in the passenger seat. That's pretty good, you know, because then you can take a sleep for a bit. Oh, are we there yet? You know. At the moment, Britain isn't even in the European car. We're outside the car, at the traffic lights, going, we're going to clean your windows, all right. Yes. And we had the pagans in Britain. Because you didn't really have the pagans here. You had the Native Americans, and it was much more of a warrior, aboriginal type existence. And we had the pagans. They were into sex, death, and religion in an interesting nighttime telly type of way. And we had the druids. Long white robes, long white beards, early transvestites, didn't get their shaving together. And they built Stonehenge, one of the biggest henges in the world. No one's built a henge like that ever since. No one knows what the fuck a henge is. Before Stonehenge, there was Woodhenge and Strawhenge. But a big bad wolf came and blew them down. And three little piggies were relocated to the projects. But they built Stonehenge. And it's built in an area called Salisbury Plain in the south of England. And the area of Salisbury Plain where they built it is very... Because that's good, you know, it's a mystical thing. Build it in a mystical area. You don't want to build it in an area that's... Now you build Trump Tower. But yes, so they built it there, and the stones are 50 foot high, 30 foot long, 20 foot deep, and other measurements as well. And the stones are not from round there. That's the amazing thing. I mean, remember, this is BC... This is before the BC AD changeover, when everyone was going... You didn't have to wind your watch back, you had to get a new bloody watch. Well, it's AD, is it now? Fuck it, oh, man. And the Muslim people going, AD? Who's he? Yes. Good laughter. So the stones are from 200 miles away in Wales. So these guys in Wales were obviously carving the rocks out of the very living mountain. Oh, fantastic. Building a henge, are we? That's a fantastic idea. It's a marvellous religion the Druids have got. Yes, a lot of white clothing. I like that. There we go. And they smash out a huge stone, and then they put tree trunks down to roll it along on. All right, walk it along. Here we go. Help you push them along. All right, it's not far, is it? And the druid going, heave, everyone, heave. Well done, everyone. You're doing very well. You all love it when you see it. I've seen some of the drawings already. It's very special. After 200 miles, you fucking bastards, you never told us 200 miles. 200 miles in this day and age, I don't even know where I live now. I wish the Christians would hurry up and get here. And they set all the stones up, and the druid's still there tinkering around, going, no, that stone and this one, can we swap them around? So that was the pagans. And then the Romans came along with their gods that they'd borrowed from the Greeks. They invaded Greece and conquered them and stole all their gods. and rename them with Roman names. Because the Roman gods before that were kind of crap. You know, Jeff, the god of biscuits. And Simon, the god of hairdos. And, you know, they had the god of war, the god of thunder, the god of running around and jumping and stuff. And, oh, let's get some of those. Thank God they got some gods, because we had these crap gods. Yes, the Emperor Fabulous put that into operation, and there should have been an Emperor Fabulous, shouldn't there? I am the Emperor Fabulous. Oh, yes, so you are. Yes. And my son, Fabulous the Second. And him, really, really interesting guy. So, yeah, and the Greeks, the Romans, they went Christian, and then we had Christianity for about 1,500 years. You know, Catholicism, we believed in the teachings of Cathol, and everything is good. Then Henry VIII came along. Henry VIII, the big hairy king, he said to the Pope, the head of the Catholic Church, "Mr. Pope, I'm going to marry my first wife, and then I'm going to divorce her. Now, I know what you're going to say, but stick with me, my story gets better. I'm going to marry my second wife, and then I'm going to kill her, cut her head off." Not expecting that, are you? "Third wife, going to shoot her. Fourth wife, put her in a bag. Fifth wife, into outer space. Sixth wife, on a rotisserie mat. Seventh wife, made out of jam. Eighth wife..." And the Pope's going, "You crazy bugger, you can't do all this. What are you, a Mormon? You can't marry all these people. That's illegal. You can't do all this. I'm the Pope, I'm head of the church. I have to keep up..." "What have you been reading? The Gospel according to St. Bastard?" So Henry VIII, who was Sean Connery for this film, "Well then, I will set up a new religion in this country. I will set up the religion, the psychotic bastard religion." And an advisor said, "Why not call it Church of England?" So it's Church of England, that's a much better. "Even though I am Scottish myself." So they did. That's the birth of Church of England, the birth of the Anglican Church. Disgusting, eh? That's no basis to start a religion on. Nothing to do with the Protestant church. I mean, Henry just shagged and killed a lot of women and then stole all the money off the monasteries. You know, rape and pillage, that is. The Protestant faith was different. That started, probably around a similar time, but that was about Martin Luther, this German guy who pinned a note on a church door saying, "Hang on a minute." But in German. So, "Ein Minuten bitte. Ich habe einen kleinen Problemo. Avec diese religione." He was from everywhere. So, yeah. So the Protestant faith was sort of tacked on, you know, by Elizabeth I a bit later. Oh, some principles, thank God, we've got some principles. Nowadays, Church of England is much more, "Hello, how are you?" Much more of a hobby type, "Hello." A lot of people in Church of England have no muscles in their arms. "Hello, yes." Yes, that's what I thought. Do come in, you're the only one today. Now, the sermon today is taken from a magazine I found. That I found in a hedge. Now, lipstick colours this season are in the frosted pink area, and nail colours to match. And this reminds me rather of our Lord Jesus. Because surely, when Jesus went into Nazareth on a donkey, he must have got tarted up a bit. We will now sing hymn 405, "O God, what on earth is my hairdo all about?" "Oh God, what on earth is my head?" There's something weird, something phenomenally dreary about Christian singing. The gospel singers are the only singers that just go crazy, go and joyous, and it's fucking amazing. And it's born out of kidnapping, imprisonment, slavery, murder, all of that, and this joyous singing. And the Church of England, well, all the sort of Christian religions, which is mainly Caucasian white people, with all the power and money, enough power and money to make Solomon blush. And they were singing, "Oh God, oh, till ages past, hope for years." They're the only group of people that can sing hallelujah without feeling like it's a hallelujah thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joyfully we lock about. It's just not kicking, is it? You know, God must be up there going, what on earth is that? God, who is James Mason, what on earth is that? Jesus Christ, what on earth is that? Don't take my name in vain, Dad. Jeezy Crazy, what on earth is that? Don't call me Jeezy Crazy. Look, Dad, I went down there, I told them to hang out, be groovy, drink a bit of wine. They split into different groups. You've got the Catholics, the Protestants, the Jesuits, the Methodists, the Evangelicals, the Free Presbyterians, the Locked Up Presbyterians, the Quakers, the Bakers, the Candlestick Makers. The Mormons are from Mars, Dad, we've had it checked on. And what does the Holy Ghost think of all this? Oh, he's useless, Dad, got a sheet over his head these days. Ooh, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, this is not an episode of Scooby-Doo. I would have succeeded if it wasn't for those pesky God and Jesus fellas. Because Shaggy and Scooby are interesting characters. They're two of the most major characters in American literature. Because, and I mean this sincerely, and I think it's fantastic, because they are cowards. They are cowardly characters. They believe in cowardice and sandwiches. And can you think of any in the whole realms of the English-speaking literature that are characters like that, cowardly characters that you identify with? Because you identify with, you're with them all the way. Go, Shaggy. Go, Scooby. The rest of the guys who drive the van, fuck off. Scrappy-Doo, a Magnum. Thank you, Grandad. Well remembered. But Shaggy and Scooby, the only other character, I mean, tell me now if you can think of any other character, because I'm willing to learn, but somebody mentioned Falstaff, a Shakespearean character. It's that level of greatness. Falstaff is a character, you sort of identify with him, but he has a melancholy with him. But Shaggy and Scooby are upbeat all the time. He says, Shaggy, Scooby, Shaggy. And you love them, you're with them. It's part of us that Shaggy and Scooby at every stage of the way. So if you travel around the world, and because your American foreign policy does give you a difficult time to exist around the world, two tricks. One, say you're Canadian, that helps. And it works in Europe, it's very good. And the second is just say Shaggy and Scooby. They go, Shaggy and Scooby. International credit card, I think I'm fine. So, yeah. So the pagan religion, I don't know a huge amount about, but it was this earthy thing. But the Christianity had split into many different areas. Catholicism still has the fire and brimstone. Boom, 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 boom. Row, you bastard. Original sin. What a hellish idea that is. People having to go, Father, bless me, for I have sinned. I did an original sin. I poked a badger with a spoon. I've never heard of that one before. Five Hail Marys and two Hello Dollies. All right, thank you. Bless me, Father, for I slept with my next-door neighbor's wife. Heard it. I want an original sin. Oh, I'm terribly sorry. The Anglican faith doesn't have that. You never go, Vicar, I have done many bad things. Well, so have I. What shall I do? Well, drink five Bloody Marys and... won't remember. And because the Anglican faith had a lack of principles for a long time, you can't get really headstrong about it. You can't say, like the Islamic jihad that we hear about. We get scared about the Islamic jihad. I think we do assume that everyone who is into the Islamic religion is having a jihad every other bloody day. There's a lot of very relaxed Islamic people, and we've got to understand, remember this, it's very important. And we do assume that jihads are just like, every day three jihads are just issued by every individual. It just seems they're everywhere. The fruit shop, shortchange me. Fucking jihad on them. Bump into someone and say, hey, you fucking jihad on you. How many jihads you got going now, Dad? Well, 24. God, it's difficult to keep up with them. I just don't think that's happening. So, but you can't do that in Church of England. You can't say, you must have tea and cake with a vicar or you die. You can't have extreme points of view. You know, the Spanish Inquisition wouldn't have worked for the Church of England. Talk, will you talk? But it hurts. Well, loosen it up a bit, will you? Because that's what it would be. Tea and cake or death. Tea and cake or death. Tea and cake or death. Students with beer. Tea and cake or death. Tea and cake or death. Little red cookbook. Little red cookbook. You know, because cake or death, that's a pretty easy question. Anyone can answer that. Cake or death? Cake, please. Very well. Give him cake. Oh, thanks very much. Very nice. You, cake or death? Cake for me too, please. Very well. Give him cake too. We're going to run out of cake at this rate. You, cake or death? Death, please. No, cake, sorry. You said death first. Death first. No, I meant cake. Oh, all right. You're lucky I'm Church of England. Cake or death? Cake, please. Well, we're out of cake. We only had three bits and we didn't expect such a rush. So what do you want? Well, so my choice is or death? Well, I'll have the chicken then, please. Taste of human, sir. Do you like a white wine? There we go. Thank you very much. Thank you for flying Church of England. Cake or death? I asked for the vegetarian. Ah, yes, the vegetarian. Yes, there we go, Mr. Hitler. There we go. Like a little wine? Thank you very much. You Nazi shithead. So, yes. So the pagan religion had very big festivals, remember, on Easter and Christmas. Christian religion came along, had very big festivals at Easter and Christmas. Jesus died on one and was born on the other. Because Jesus, I do think, did exist, you know, and he was, I think, a guy had interesting ideas in the Gandhi type era, in the Nelson Mandela type era, you know, relaxed and groovy. And the Romans thought, relaxed and groovy. No. So they murdered him. And then kids eat chocolate eggs because the color of the chocolate and the color of the wood on the cross. Well, you tell me. Got nothing to do with it, has it? You know, people going, remember kids? The kids eating the chocolate eggs. Going, remember kids? Jesus died for your sins. Yeah, I know, it's great. No, it's bad. It's bad. No, it's bad. It's very bad. It's terrible. Whatever you want. I mean, just keep giving me these eggs. And the bunny rabbits, where do they come into the crucifixion? There were no bunny rabbits up on the hill going, hey, what, are you going to put these crosses in our barns? We live below this hill, all right? Bunny rabbits offer shagging, eggs offer fertility. It's a festival. It's the spring festival. Christmas time, you know, Jesus born to a big jolly guy in a red jacket. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, 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 baby Jesus. And what would you like for Christmas? Peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Well, what about the clockwork train? Oh, yes, much better. Forget peace on earth. I don't care. And, you know, the Christmas, the fir tree, there's none of them in Nazareth. The partridge in a pear tree song was not sung at the Last Supper. They weren't there going, at a partridge in a pear tree, five gold rue. Come on, loosen up, Judas. Oh, on the seventh day of Christmas. Judy, come on, Judy, loosen up. Don't call me Judy, I've told you. Can you lend us a fiver, Judy? I'm a bit short. Ah. All right, lads. Leonardo da Vinci's painting the picture. All right, so everyone get your positions. Here we go. I'm going, Jesus, why are you doing the big arms thing? I don't know. I just thought I'd do a big arms thing. I don't know. Well, I'm going to do a big arms thing as well. Yeah, me too. I quite like the big arms. Look, we can't all do big arms. We look like a squadron of Spitfires, for fuck's sake. I'll do big arms, and you just look at me and go, oh, he's doing big arms. All right. Leonardo, have you got that one? Have you got the painting? All right, now a fun one as well, remember? That partridge in a pear tree song, the only bit we like of it is that. Five gold rue. People go berserk at that point. People running in from other rooms. Five gold rue. you know, the rest of it, we don't know. Above that, so 12 monkeys mating, 11 donkeys dancing, 10 pygmies farming, 9 socks are swimming, and 5 are green. This is a human thing. We only like to learn a little bit of a song. We can't be bothered.
Yeah.
The American National Anthem, I've noticed, is a bit hazy in the middle. Because you start strong and you finish strong, but the middle bit's a bit... And a fish in the sky, and a big monkey's heart. I've seen guys up there halfway through just losing it. What the fuck is it? I came second, I'm from Turkey, I don't know. You want some furniture? But in Britain, we don't win many gold medals at the Olympics because we've chosen not to. It's a political statement because we hate our national anthem. Because it's God Save the Queen, you see. God Save the Queen. Now, the Queen lives in a very big house. She has barbed wire outside and people with guns in front of that. That's one saved fucking Queen, I tell you. That's the problem. She's overly saved. She has no idea of the struggle of human existence. We have to work for a living, raise a family. We don't have nannies all running around the place. It's what you got to do in your life, you know. And so it's God Save the Queen. No, it's too saved. It's God Attack the Queen. That's what it should be. God Attack the Queen. Send big dogs after her that bite her bum. Let them push off and rip her knickers. That'd be fantastic. Then she'd have to fight the crazy dog with a handbag with a brick inside it. Crazy dog! Crazy dog! Rawr, kill the Queen. No, crazy dog! And maybe she'd kill the crazy dog. And everyone in Britain would go, hell, fair play to the Queen. Kill the crazy dog. And the Queen would go, she would have self-respect for the first time in her life. Yes. It would work. It'd be fantabulous. But in America, you do win the gold medal. I've seen it at the Olympics. You stand there, hand on the heart. You and the Roman Empire, the only people who've ever done that, so be very careful. Because you are the new Roman Empire, you realize that. There's no one else going. Because the other big power is, of course, China, but they're a bit of a... kind of thing, you know. You know, 1,000 million, but they're all a bit, you know, just getting ready. And you're the Roman Empire, yeah? So you've got vomitariums and orgies to look forward to. Let the president lead the way. Because no one cares in America. And, I don't know. Anyway, in Europe, we're just watching you going, what are you doing? Because in France they wouldn't care, and in Britain they would get shot. You know, if the Prime Minister had done something, then everyone would go... Can the government say what is happening on the recent affair by the Prime Minister? Well, the government would like to say... Thank you. But you do sing the national anthem. I've seen you sing the national anthem, and I've worked out how to do it. If you're lost in the middle of it and you're singing the words, you know, because the tannoy systems at big stadiums, you know, it doesn't matter. Wherever you're singing it, all that people care about is the look, because there's figures on this. 70% of what people react to is the look. You know, it's how you look. And there's about 20% is how you sound, and only 10% is what you say. So if you look good and sound good, just up there going, the big mouth, the eyes, use that. And keep confirming and denying things. I'm an action transvestite, really. You know, as well as being an executive transvestite, I'm an action transvestite. Because it's running, jumping, climbing trees, you know. So I went snowboarding when I was in Aspen. And you look cool when you snowboard. You just look cool, you know. You cannot but look cool because you're nailed to a fucking plank of wood. As long as you're vertical, you're going, hey, it's... And you look at skiing, it can be kind of... There's a lot of that stuff, but this is just... And there's only two positions in snowboarding. One is looking cool, the second is dead, right? Pow! So I was looking cool, and I was going 50, 60,000 miles an hour. And because you have no idea. The police never pull you over. They never go, woo, shh. Oh, fuck it out. Because the police need to be able to walk up to you in that kind of condescending way. Okay, Sonny Jim, what do you think you're doing, eh? You know, and they can't do that on a snowboard because they have to go, your tail lights out, and you've got no knees. So anyway, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. No, I was just going fast, and I fell, and I smashed my head, and my head was fine, but my neck went, oh, no. Oh, no, thank you. So I had to go see a chiropractor in New York, and they're different to osteopaths, chiropractors, because of the spelling. And... of course, they're both very powerful figures on the Scrabble board there. Chiropractor. 93 letters, chiropractor. And they crack your bones. That's what it is. They crack your bones. And they take x-rays, but it's pointless because whatever's wrong with you, you've got a bad back, I'm going to crack your bones. You've got diphtheria, I'm going to crack your bones. Your head's come off, I'm going to crack your bones. It looks like your mother, I'm going to crack your bones. And then when they crack your bones, it goes, and then, but not sort of, but sort of, all the way up your spine, crack your bones, crack your bones, crack your bones. And they sort of arrange you into a nice, comfortable, and sometimes it doesn't crack, sometimes it just goes. And then they pull a mallet from their belt and they crack it, make the noise, I live for the noise, oh, no. And they do your head as well, around here, and they get into a nice position, and you're thinking, no, I don't think it's supposed to go around them. In the end, you just trust them, you trust them, they could have your fingers, their fingers in your nostrils, one foot on the back of your underpants, and they're pushing your spine away with a broom. What's this one all about? I have no idea. Wherever he falls, there shall he be buried. Also, if you're in a restaurant and you're choking to death, you can say the magic words, Heimlich Manoeuvre. If you're just coughing your guts up, you say Heimlich Manoeuvre, and all will be well. The trouble is, it's very difficult to say Heimlich Manoeuvre when you're choking to death. Heimlich Manoeuvre. Your hymen's been removed. No. You need it removed, right? Get. I don't know how you remove a hymen. No, Heimlich maneuver developed by Dr. Heimlich, who woke up one night, obviously, and went, a fist, a hand, hoocha, 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 lobster. Yes, Hilda, Hilda, wake up, Hilda. Oh, what is it, Dr. Heimlich? Why are you calling me Dr. Heimlich? I'm your husband, for fuck's sake. Loosen up. Don't be so bloody Prussian. Well, what is it, Gunther? I have invented a maneuver. What are you, a bloody tank commander now? No, my name is going to be famous in restaurants. I don't think he actually did it that way. I don't think it was a wing and a prayer. I think he must have experimented. He was German, organized. Okay, Hans, I want you to swallow this golf ball. I cannot breathe. I know you cannot breathe. I will now make you breathe with the cunning use of... I still cannot breathe. Okay, maybe not. Maybe this will... Okay, then maybe with a frying pan. Pow! Must be a combination. No, okay. Okay, two frying pans. Frying pan in the bollocks. Bollocks start. Frying pan. Woo! Oh, he's dead. other doctors going, how's it coming along, Dr. Heimlich? Well, not very well at the moment. It's not really a maneuver at the moment. It's more of a gesture. As the National Rifle Association says, it's not guns that kill people, it's maneuvers. But, I'm a film nut as well, but complete nut on films. I used to break into film studios. There's a studio called Pinewood Studios near London, and I broke in there when I was 15, and I crept around, creeping, and hoping that some guy with a big cigar might go, hey, a creeping kid, for my film, The Creeping Kid. You're in. Oh, we are, yeah. But no, it didn't happen. They were filming tall, angular, veterinarian film. And I didn't have my bag. And my hand up a horse's. Anyway, so, But we've got known in Britain for making the smaller films. Smaller, you know, recently we've been pulling out of that into the more Trainspotting era. But the smaller films, the kind of, you know, room with a view with a staircase and a pond type movie. Films are very fine acting, but the drama is rather sort of subsumed and subsumed, or a word like that. sub something or other. You know, just sort of folded in, and everything's people opening doors. Oh, I'm... Oh. What? Well, I... Oh. What is it, Sebastian? I'm arranging matches. Well, I thought... You know, I'd better go. Yes, I think you'd better have. Ooh. And you can't eat popcorn to that. You're going... Whereas if the film did any little bit of business in America, if the film did, you know, some decent bit of business, then Hollywood would take it, and they'd remake it, and they'd up the budget by 50 million, and it would be called The Room with a View of Hell. Staircase of Satan. Pond of Death. And have people open the door going, you're fucking in here all the time. All the time you're in here at the fucking matches. In here at the fucking matches. You're fucking learning. Fucking. You don't talk to me that way. You don't talk to me that way. You fuck my wife. 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 I am your wife. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. I say again, you fuck my wife. All right, yes, I fuck your wife. I am your wife and I fucked her. Die, you cunt. Fucking matches, I can't get on. I'm gonna drive around town and put babies on spikes. Oh no, space monkeys are attacking. A whole new part of the film that wasn't in the original. Damn, it's jam. Janine, I love you really, even though you fucked my wife. Handbag with a brick in it. It's the Queen. Don't know who that is. Yeah, we play bad guys in Hollywood movies because of the Revolutionary War. Yeah. No two ways about it. And the French, who are on your side in the Revolutionary War, they play more esoteric characters. They play characters who turn up and go, my name is Pierre. I have come from Paris. I have come to have sex with your family. Help yourself. Because of the debt of honor to General Lafayette. You know you're in history, yeah? You don't know who he is, do you? There was the Spanish-American War, the French Banana War, what? Revolutionary War. Hung out with Washington. Lafayette. Street named after him in New York. Forget it. But we play bad guys. Like, take the Empire Strikes Back from the Star Wars trilogy. And the Death Star. The Death Star just full of British actors opening doors and going, what is it, Lieutenant Sebastian? It's just the rebels, sir. They're here. My God, man. Do they want tea? No, I think they're after something more than that, sir. I don't know what it is, but they brought a flag. Damn, that's dash cutting of them. Ah, Lord Vader.
Hello.
Because he was only impressive because he had that James L. Jones voice.
I am Vader. The Force is strong with you.
If he had much more, hello.
Look, I'm Lord Vader, and just pay a bloody attention, all right? Luke, the Force is strong with you.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, who told you that?
Some bloke. Yeah, he said the Force is really rather strong with you.
Well, how strong?
As strong as a small pony.
Oh, that's quite strong, that is. Film would never fucking work, would it? Yeah. The Great Escape. Now, there's a film. A lot of British actors. I'm British. Link up there. Steve McQueen, action hero, action transvestite. Link up there. The story is based on a true story about 76 prisoners, British prisoners who escaped from a prisoner of war camp in Silesia in Poland. They're all experts at escaping. They've escaped from loads of other prisons, and now they're all put together, so they all say, hey, let's work together. Steve McQueen plays the American guy who is dropped into British films in order to make them sell. In America, that is, you know, because everyone will go, well, I'm not going to see it full of British guys, and what the fuck do I know about British things? I was in Memphis, did a gig in Memphis, and this guy came up to, and this was fucking weird, this guy, he had two kids, and he said, you British? I go, yeah, like wanting to go, no, I'm from Mars, actually, and I go, you British, yeah. And he said, hey kid, Jimmy Sue, Bobby Will, Fishy Bob. And he said, talk British to my kids. I said, no, I'm not going to talk British to your kid. Well, you don't talk, it's English. Hello. What? And the kid's going, no, Dad, we want to go and see the... Not with his accent. No, Dad, we want to go and see the man emasculating a donkey over there. Talk British to my kids. Talk or I'll get my arsenal of weapons out. So that was fun. So, yes, The Great Escape, yes. So The Great Escape, it's all true. And, you know, Steve McQueen's there, you know, to make it sound. And he's cool. You know, I'm totally in. I'm very big fan of Steve McQueen. Bullet. Fog. No fucking fog in Bullet, are there? That film, The Rock, when they're all out in Alcatraz, they're saying, we can't send this nuclear weapon towards San Francisco, we can't fucking find it. It's covered in fog. All right, then we'll have to get Oakland then. Yeah. Oh, fight. Oakland, San Francisco, Oakland, East Bay. You're not called West Bay, though, are you? No, you're just the city. You going to the city today? I might go to the city. And Oakland's just a collection of houses, is it? So The Great Escape. In The Great Escape, they're saying, look, like, we're going to do the biggest escape in the history of people escaping from things we shouldn't. Bam! And Steve isn't really part of it. He's just hanging out and he's playing baseball and he's running about and does a bit of an escape, gets caught, covered in mud, stuff like that. But the British are working away. They're digging three tunnels, Charlie, Barley and Farley. No, four tunnels, Charlie, Barley, Farley and Wally. No, five tunnels, Charlie, Farley, Wally. No one expects the Spanish Tunnel King. and they're digging away, and it says people in charge of shoring it up with wood, people putting breathing apparatus into it, people putting things on trolleys, you know, lighting apparatus, people disguising the entrance of the tunnel so it looks like a kibbutz or something. People saying, I've got my uniform, so I turn it inside out, raise the collar, turn my buttocks into a hat, and I now look like a German officer. But I have no buttocks. Jawohl, mein Herr, erkasa dieser weiße eine willige Lache willkommen. Well done, Simpkins. Well done. That's a line from Monty Python, isn't it? And there's people at Donald Pleasant's doing forgeries on bits of tin can with a bit of jam. Clang, you know. And on the day of the escape, they're all there. Now, Steve McQueen has joined up with the escape, and the British are there with trilby hats on, overcoats, briefcases, canoe, bit of a rabbit. And Steve's just there in jeans and a T-shirt, you know. Disguised as an American man. He romps out, jumps on a motorbike, knocks the guy off, whoom! Within 15 minutes, he's on the borders of Switzerland. This is from Poland. And if you don't know the geography, it goes Poland, Czechoslovakia, Holland, Venezuela, Africa, Beirut. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and then Switzerland. Where the Nazi gold comes from. So, yes. That's a golden ring. I love the way you do it. Whenever I say something slightly weird, I'm catching the ferry right now. Anyway, so yeah, so it, you know, Steve's just damn cool. Jumps out on the motorbike. As soon as he gets on the motorbike, the music cuts to bam, ba, bam, ba, bam, 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 bam. The British are all down the train station. Can't we do a motorbike? Damn, damn. Yes, a train thing. Ich möchte einen Ticket nach London. No, not London. Calais. That's nice and Nazi, isn't it? In a passa bitte. My passport, all right. Clang, 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 clang. It's a bit clangy and a bit jammy. Yes, I'm from the steel and jam area of Stuttgart. So, yeah, and the British are getting hassled. Steve's away. And he gets to Switzerland. Remember, Jim Rockford nicks an aeroplane in that film, and he flies to Switzerland, and he gets about 20 miles away from it, and in an aeroplane, and Steve's on a fucking motorbike, and he gets there. Before him. What's he got on a fucking motorbike? Jet wings? I don't know. So, yeah, all the British are being hassled. The Gestapo after them, people on rowing boats, people on bicycles, someone on a rabbit, someone on, you know, on a kangaroo, pogo stick. Steve, motorbike all the way. Steve's over the first line of barbed wire. Go, Steve, go, into the second line of barbed wire. Nearly makes it, but doesn't quite, but lives to tell the tale. Meanwhile, the British are all round up and shot in the head. Now, what signals is this giving to kids from the different, you know, countries, Britain and America? American kids watching Steve and going, Steve, you're damn cool. Yeah, fucking with you, man, all the way. Hey, absolutely. Live to tell the tale. Good on you, you know? I don't know why he's Australian, but anyway. absolutely good eye. But we're just watching it and think, we're fucked. No matter all that planning, the logistics, everything, we got fucking blown away. Fish and chip on my shoulder. And Engelbert Humperdinck, yes, he was a man. That's not his real name. He's from Britain, but that's not his name. There's very few Humperdincks in Britain. He was born Jerry Dorsey, and not Engelbert Humperdinck. His parents were not Mr. and Mrs. Humperdinck. They never said, what shall we call our son so he does not get the shit kicked out of him at school? We shall call him Engelbert. Good, that'll work. No, his name was Jerry Dorsey, and he released... He released songs as Jerry Dorsey, songs such as "Oh, I've earned the show," which didn't work because no one could hear what he was saying. And then his managers obviously said, "We're going to change your name, Jerry. It's the name that's the problem." And his name changed from Jerry Dorsey to Engelbert Humperdinck. I mean, I just wanted to be in the room when they were working that one through. Zingelbert Bembeldack, Yingibert Danglebahn, Zangelbert Bingledack. Winglebert Humptyback. Slut Bunwala. What? All right, Kringlebert Fisty Buns. Stevie Buns Buttrick Trundles. No, Jerry Dorsey. I like Jerry Dorsey. No, we can't.
What have we got? Zingleberg Bembledack, Tinglebert Wangledack, Slop Bumwalla, Clingy Bun Fistle Vars, Dindlebert Zendledack, Jerry Dorsey, Engelbert Humptyback, Zingleberg Bengledack, Engelbert Humperdink, Bingleberg Wingledank. No, go back one, Engelbert Humperdink. That's it. And it worked.
But he's dead now. Did you hear that? Yeah, today on CNN, I heard it just as coming out. Very weird, because Frank Sinatra was just recently as well, wasn't it? Yeah. No, this is what I heard on the telly when I was coming out. No, it's not true. No, it is true. Yeah, he was in LA. Something happened. He was in LA, and that's all I caught on the tapes, just before I came out. So, yeah. No, it is true. No, he was in a car, and in LA, driving along, something hit him or something. Something like that. He's fine. He's cooking. He's jumping. He's doing his thing in LA. He's absolutely fine. How do I know? I don't know. I think he's got a cold. That's what they say. No, a tan. That's it. But back in the 60s, though. Back in the 60s, President Kennedy became the President of the United States of America. And he went to Berlin. He stood on the Berlin Wall, and he said, "People of Berlin, people of Berlin." I can't do an impression of President Kennedy, so this is, "People of Berlin." Amy, no. James Mason playing. "People of Berlin, I've come to you to tell you something about American state. What is... I sound a bit like God, don't I? Yes. But I've come to say to you that every free citizen of the world is a citizen of Berlin. And I wish to say to you, ich bin ein Berliner." And the crowd went fucking wild. Trouble is, ich bin ein Berliner means I am a donut. And this is true, and this is what he said. He said, "I am a donut." And as I say, 70% how you look, 20% how you sound. 10% is what you say. He said, "I am a donut." They went wild! You know, because "Ich bin Berliner" is "I am a Berliner." But "Ich bin ein Berliner" is that's the name of a donut they have there. And it's like going to Frankfurt. "I am a Frankfurter." Yeah, we've heard about that one, Jackie. Hamburg. "I am a hamburger too." Lucky he didn't do a tour of Germany. "I am a hamburger, a frankfurter, and a donut." But the people in Berlin must have gone, what did he say? He said it was a donut. I thought he said it was a donut too. So what does that mean? It's a slang. He's American. He's a donut. Fucking donut. Fucking donut's a fucking donut. Fucking donut. It's a fucking donut. I think that's what it must mean. What do you think, Dr. Heimlich? Huh?
I don't know. I've swallowed a football and I can't get it out. Can you grab me, perform my maneuver on me, please? The me maneuver?
Huh?
Hilda, get me a map of everything. He also made a speech about space. President Kennedy said, "By the end of this decade, I have decided to put a man on the surface of the moon." At the same time, our Prime Minister in Britain, Sir Dingley Dang. You don't know anyway, do you? You have no idea. It was Sir Fritz Bunwalla. Engelbert Slaptyback, who was Prime Minister at the time, and he stood up and he said, "By the end of this decade, I have decided to put a man on the surface of the earth." And so we did.
But yeah, it was kind of weird because we couldn't do the space race. We had no money. You know, rationing didn't stop till the year 2001. I still haven't even lived that long. But anyway, we didn't have any money. So you were getting the space rockets, testing them, getting a cat, a dog, a fish, a monkey up into space. The fish was interesting. We didn't have enough money to put a man in a tracksuit up a ladder. I mean, I would have been there. Go, man, go. I'm going. Hang on. Just hang on to the ladder. Hello, Swindon. I am here. Swindon, can you hear me? Swindon here. We are monitoring you on our instruments at the moment. We've got you on a tuba. That should be a bigger laugh for that joke, I think. Yeah, I can't quite understand it. I thought it was really funny. Swindon, knackered kind of Fresno town. They don't seem to be going for it. They're obviously bastards. Well, anyway, Swindon, I'm nearly at the moon. Actually, it's a bit of an understatement, that one. Have you got another bit of ladder? Another bit of ladder. I don't think we're quite at the moon yet. But I can see right over the top of the houses. It's fantastic. But they went to the moon. Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Neil came, and Michael Collins going round and round in working out the IRA thing. And Neil stepped onto the moon and said, "One small step for man, a giant leap for mankind." Good line, but not his line. It didn't feel like his line. You know, I bet that was just given to him, and he was coming down the steps going, "Small step for man, a giant leap for mankind. Small step for man, a giant leap for mankind." Don't get it wrong, Neil. Don't fuck it up. Here we go. "I'm a small man with a giant leap." One man, small giant, two men's... What is it? Because you've got to say something. You can't get out onto the moon and go, "Oh, it's all sticky. It's covered in jam." You can't land on the moon and go, "Fucking hell, I've been in that space, guys. Right, I need a piss." You can't land on the moon and wind down the wind and go, "Is this Sea Tranquility? Sea Tranquility? Is this Sea Tranquility? Sea Tranquility?" There's no one around. But he had a sense of humour, so he should have used it, because there was that lunar module there, fixed camera, just fixed, not panning left and right, just stationary. So he could have been there saying, "Hi, people on the moon, as you can see, the Sea of Tranquility here, there's the mountains in the distance, there's the Earth there, you're looking back up at yourselves there. Over to my right, I can see a fucking monster, there's a monster behind me! Buzz Aldrin in a monster outfit. Whoa, Neil doing closer. "Well, they've got me, Houston. The monster's caught me. He wants cash. He's got my hand up behind my back. I think he knows jujitsu. But he wants cash for the rest of my life. Send $2 million. Leave it in a bag by the Sea of Tranquility. I don't know, the North Shore. What the fuck?" Oh, it would have worked, wouldn't it? But they went to the moon and they brought back rock. They brought back rock. The trouble is, we've got rock. That was the one thing we didn't need, wasn't it? Rock, Neil. I don't know whether you looked at the planet before you took off, but it's made of fucking rock. But it's moon rock. Oh, fucking hell, this is Earth rock, Neil. Now, come on. Jeez, oh look, Earth rock, it's a special mineral, it's fucking Earth, it's rock, isn't it? Have you heard, on the stock market, Neil, rock's gone up 3 points. No, it hasn't, has it? Because it's fucking rock. Jeez, now, we wanted diamonds or sherbet or a squirrel with a gun. So they went to the moon, they found rock, and they found ice as well recently. So it's rock and ice, what an exciting planet. Obviously a party planet. And then went to Mars, they found more rock, but it's red this time, so we've got the most boring solar system I've ever heard of. And I've never heard of any. And no monsters either. Not one fucking monster has turned up, has it? In the history of looking. Because we've been ready for monsters. And we've been waiting for them for so long. Pictures of monsters, stories of monsters, documentaries of monsters, films, programs, television thing. No, not one fucking monster. Nothing. Not even a squirrel with a flute has turned up. Monster, very small monster. Get the flute off him, that's why he gets his power. I think the world needs monsters. I think we need monsters because we've got this thing of humans are very good with a little bit of adversity, not too much adversity, but you know, enough. You know, so like in the Cold War, say the Second World War is better than the Cold War. The Cold War was just this negative thing. The Second World War had that thing of everyone pulling together against something. There was some positive stuff that came out of it. But now that the Cold War is gone, there's just everything's gone a bit loose and free. Everyone's got obsessed with Upstairs. Have you noticed that? You know, the X Files, all the films come out. X Files, Independence Day, Armageddon, Deep Impact, the Deep Throat. all these ones are things. We're all looking Upstairs now. And in America, everything's gone a bit weird. Terrorism has started to happen. You know, the Oklahoma bombing, which everyone was quite sure was some sort of Islamic fundamentalist thing, and everyone said, no, it's. Found out it was white guys from nearby, you know. That must have freaked you out. Something rotten. These guys from around the corner, they look like us. Oh, fuck. Yeah. Bit of a weird one. And the Aryan supremacists have come along with their ideas of get some chemical weapons and kill people. And then you think, well, what's your plan? What does that achieve? Nothing really, you know. And it won't work. Aryan supremacists, any white supremacists, black supremacists, blue supremacists, especially the blue supremacists, they're never going to work. Because, you know, if you get the same people from the same genetic group to all intermarry, yeah, hello, cousins marrying, hello, IQ down the toilet. Hitler was trying this. First generation of Nazis would have been Sieg Heil. Second generation, Sieg Heil. Third generation, I have no idea. The FBI picked up a guy who was trying to access anthrax through the mail. Who the fuck do you write to for anthrax? Is there a big desk with people going, more requests for anthrax? Thank you, Jeff. Dear Mrs. Stevens, thank you for a request for anthrax, one of the most dangerous chemical weapons known to humankind. We have pleasure in rushing over to you 3 buckets of anthrax, yeah. For our own personal use only. But this guy was doing it fraudulently, so he must have been a bit cunning. Dear sir, my name is Daisy. I am a cow. I wish to take my own life, so please send me 3 buckets of anthrax, as anthrax is designed to kill cattle, and I want to end it all right now. P.S. I cannot shoot myself as I have no opposable thumb. But it is, it's that we know with pedigree dogs and mongrel dogs are the proof of this experiment. The pedigree dogs, they're all inbred. You take the grandmother and then the great nephew, and you go, oh, no, there you go. And you just get them, and they're all next to each other in the genetic pool. So they look kind of good, but they just go, woof. And what do you think about the latest doggy situation? Woof. I like meeting other dogs. Where's the mongrel dog with a black patch over a white face, furry on top and sleek down below because a lion shagged a whippet? That's the one. That's the one that goes out, nicks your credit cards and drives to the Bahamas. But I'm going to finish up today by talking about my puberty, because which is a kind of, you know, spiky subject. But it is interesting because, you know, there's things like these kids started shooting people, which you've had in America, because guns don't kill people. It's just that certain noise they make. And it's just a bullet ripping through people's bodies. That's what kills people.
Yeah.
Yeah, have guns, but don't allow any ammunition. There, we got it. We got it sorted. They just go, oh. So, yeah, But puberty was, well, before puberty, I was at school, I didn't tell kids I was a transvestite because I thought they might kill me with sticks, you know? Why? I don't know. He said a word we didn't understand. And he won at Scrabble with it. So, yes. So, most transvestite fancy girls, and you can tell people this. Yes, most transvestite fancy girls. Well, who told you that? A transvestite told me that. Probably lives in a cave somewhere. No, an executive transvestite. Oh, really? Well, fantastical. So, yeah. So I played kiss chase with the girls. Tag a girl, she has to kiss you. Kind of sexy. But then puberty came. Puberty came and destroyed my confidence, destroyed my everything, which I think is part of the thing that causes these kids to go off and commit murder, essentially. Because it is such a hell of a gear change. Because think about it. It's the one time, because before puberty, girls and boys are going, girls, boys, Then it gets to puberty, it's like, girls, or, you know, boys, boys, you know, whatever sexual preference you're going. But you just start switching all of that. So and you think, God, I want to get off with some of these people. I better look my best. And then Mother Nature says, no, you will look the worst you ever look in your life. Hold on, where did I get all this from? Jesus. We repulse ourselves. I mean, I used to look in the mirror and go, well, I'm not going to shag me, that's for certain. Because that's what narcissism is all about, is looking in the mirror and going, God, I'd like to have sex with myself, you know? You know, it's all sort of self-attraction thing. And then when you go, the acne thing, you just go, oh, no way. And parents should tell you the facts of puberty. Look, your hair's going to go greasy, your face will become a general plague area. Here's a book on the Black Death. Tufts of hair will grow on your chin, not in a sexy stubble way, but in a continuing plague theme. Down here, I'm not even going to talk about that. But here's a picture of your Uncle Jim. Sorry, fell there. No, that's your aunt, sorry. That's Queen Victoria. Yeah, so, and it's over months and years, isn't it? Puberty's over months and years. It should be one day. Get the fucker over with. Go into school. Sorry, I'm late. I don't know why I'm late. By the time you get home, right, I'm going home to get a job with a drill. And that one day at school will be weird. Sorry, I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know. Excuse me, can I be excused? I seem to have the plague. And then I had to chat up girls, and I'd never used my vocal ability to chat up girls. And when your voice is breaking, it's very hard to think, oh, God, and Susan, I don't fancy you. I saw you in the playground. I had to chat up girls, and I'd only tagged them before, and I didn't have the verbal power to be able to say, Susan, I saw you in the classroom today. As the sun came from behind the clouds, a burst of brilliant light caught your head, was haloed in front of me. You turned, your eyes flashed fire into my soul. I immediately read the words of Dostoevsky and Karl Marx, and in the words of Albert Schweitzer, I fancy you. But no, at 13, you're just going, hello, Sue. I've got legs. Do you like bread? I've got a French loaf. Bye. I love you. So it was all not working very well. And later on, when we become more mature, we have that line. If you're talking to someone getting on well, you can say that great line, do you want a cup of coffee? And if they go, yeah, okay, then sex is on, yeah? That's the unwritten rule. Doesn't always work. If the president of Burundi says, would you like a cup of coffee? You're not supposed to go, oh, I'm in here. And how do you take it? Anywhere I find it, big boy. Oh, just a cup of coffee. All right. So he meant, do you want a cup of coffee? So you're from Burundi, are you? Fantastic, yeah. No, I know, it's near Zaire, isn't it? Near Tanzania. Yeah. Yeah, no, I learned them all when I had chicken pox. Now, I've got to go now because my grandmother's on fire and... But normally it does work, as long as you keep the chat sexy. Yes, I like my coffee hot and strong. Like I like my women hot and strong. With a spoon in them. Ah, the curve of the spoon, the curve of your breast. I like to run the spoon across my lips. I'm fine. Then you're pretty close, yeah? And I was a very, very driven Boy Scout. Very driven Boy Scout. Driven everywhere I was. And such a crap joke. Other nights I never even said it because I thought, so crap. I'm just laughing that you laugh. Anyway, but I was a driven Boy Scout. No, I was actually just driven. You know, I was just forget this. Anyway, so yeah, I had all the badges. I had all the badges. I had my sort of landing on the moon badge, you know, advanced badges. My nuclear fusion badge. And my Menachem Begin disguise kit badge. Which was great. And so I was a top scout. I was a chief scout. I had my own tribe and everything. And me and this other guy who was a chief scout, we went on an outing, a sort of chaperones for these girls who were slightly younger at school. So 10 girls, 2 boys, pretty good odds for a shy kid. We go to an activity center where you climb a tree and eat a sausage, and it's kind of, you know, it builds your character so you know about sausages. And we end up at a swimming pool, and I'm doing splashy splashy with this girl I really fancy. And she's doing splashy splashy back, and I'm going, fucking hell, splashy back, you know. Because splashy splashy is the aquatic equivalent of, do you want a cup of coffee? So splashy splashy's going well, and I suddenly think, I know, I'll turn, I'll do swimmy swimmy, and then maybe she'll do swimmy swimmy too, in a kind of chase me way, and then we do catchy catchy and underwater sexy sexy. But I turned, and I was so elated that splashy splashy was actually working, that I just swam like a boy chased by sharky sharky. I swam, swam, and I swam, and I was in Egypt when they caught up with me. That's a long way from England. It goes England, Venezuela, Beirut, Africa, Cincinnati, Hanging Gardens of Babylon. It's near Switzerland. So, yeah, it just wasn't working. And I was saving my virginity. And then, you know, it's cool to lose your virginity at 13. You say, yeah, I was 13, she was 25, you know. I know, I was an animal. What can I say, you know? But I was saving my virginity for a woman made out of breasts. And I was getting on. I was 18. They're going, have you done it yet? I was going, I'm not from your country. Going to college, you know, still nothing. And I thought, stop saving yourself for some imaginary person who isn't there. Just lose your virginity. Find anyone, as long as they got a pulse. Or not. Pulse optional. And I was 21 before I lost my virginity. 21. That's not cool at all, is it? But then I tell everyone about it, so that's quite cool. And I've done it since then. And but the weirdest thing of all was I actually lost my virginity a year before I lost my virginity. I was, weird. I was, when a year before, when I was 20, I actually had a night of way, hey, hey, hey. So next morning, it's one of those post-virginity breakfasts. I was thinking, you know, hey, just sit there. Breakfast, cereal, bacon and eggs. Bit of coffee bubbling away. Freshly squeezed mango juice. She's going, you're very chipper this morning. I'm going, yeah, fucking hell. Yeah, because last night, lost my virginity. Oh, yeah, with who? I did this for an hour, and I was going, with you. What the fuck, 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 fuck? What the fuck was last night all about? What, you know, and she said, no, and we had this conversation, and the words ejaculation came into the conversation, and the word premature as well. And I came back with, no, ejaculation, mature ejaculation. Not premature, post-mature, veteran ejaculation. Wise, learned man ejaculation. Mature man who does the washing up type. But she said no, she vetoed it. She was China in the United Nations Security Council. In the United Nations Security Council of my virginity. And so it just didn't work. It was fuck me off, I tell you. But she's dead now, so yes. Oh, she was in L.A. in a car with Engelbert Humperdinck. And... So that's the end of my show. And I do like to end the show with a kind of, oh, feeling. And I think I've done that quite well. But thank you very much for being here. Hope you enjoyed it. I just want to talk quickly about language, and then we can all... Because, language. They do say Britain and America are two countries separated by the Atlantic Ocean. And it's true. they say two languages separated by... Two countries separated by common language. That's the line. It's an Oscar Wilde line, I think. And we do pronounce things in a different way. Like, you say caterpillar, and we say caterpillar. Now, you say aluminum, we say aluminium. You say centrifugal, we say centrifugal. You say leisure, we say lazurier. you say basil, we say basil. And you say herbs, and we say herbs. Because there's a fucking H in it. But you spell through, T-H-R-U, and I'm with you on that, because we spell it thruff. And that's trying to cheat at Scrabble. How can we get that ooh sound? Well, a U will work. What about an O as well? No, we don't need it, we're fine. No, I think an O is. Well, all right. And a G as well. What? Yes, a G would be good. G sound. Yes, we need a silent G, just in the background, in case of any accidents or something. Well, all right. And an H as well. Fucking hell, hang on. An H in case some herbs come along. All right. And a Q and a P and a Z. Look, it's a word in Scrabble that's 480 points. So, yes. And we do have, slight differences in that arena. But in Europe, we have 200 languages. 200 languages. Just count them. I know you won't. But the 200 languages, and future generations of Europeans, I'm sorry, Europeans, but we're going to have to be bilingual. We are going to have to be. And English speakers hate this. Two languages in one head, no one can live at that speed. Good Lord, man. You're asking the impossible. But the Dutch speak four languages and smoke marijuana. Yes, but they're cheating. Everyone knows marijuana is a drug enhancement that can help you on track and field to come last in a team of 8 million... 8 million other runners who are all dead. I don't know how the Dutch do it, but anyway, because we're going to have to learn, and the reason we're going to have to learn is one... for being groovy and just getting out there and doing it. But second, we just lose a lot of business in Europe, in the rest of Europe, because German people phone, I'm going, wir haben 5 Millionen Deutschmark für die Auto. Just fuck off with you, mate. I'll start speaking German. I'll tell them to go away. I don't know, something about 5 Millionen Deutschmark, and I told them to get knotted. We don't want any of his Deutsche Markies. We do want that. Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Oh, fuck, redial. Yeah, so, So I'm into this. I'm into this idea. This idea, it's a good, it's a positive thing, man. And I took my last show, Glorious, I took to Paris, and I did it in French. The French people came, and they stared at me with that look on their eyes of, quoi? Because, you know, there's no stand-up in France, and they're not used to English people speaking French. But I was doing it, you know, because I thought it would be a positive... Because we could be the biggest melting pot in the world. Biggest melting pot in the world. 500 million people. All we got to do is melt a bit. Just move it around. Fucking move it around. And it was partly that, and partly just to go, yeah. So I did that, and I learned French at school up to the age of 16, and then I just kept talking endlessly after that, and at school, the first page I ever learned in French was full of things which are difficult to get into a conversation. Things like, the mouse is underneath the table, la souris est en dessous de la table. Just slip that in when you're buying a ticket to Paris. Le train à Paris, oui? C'est ici, c'est maintenant, c'est 5 minutes. La souris est en dessous de la table. The other line was, the cat is on the chair, le chat est sur la chaise, slightly more easy to fit in, and the monkey is on the branch, le singe est sur la branche. Very difficult to get into a conversation. Not a lot of jungle in France. Monkeys, thin on the ground. Thin in the air. Just generally pretty trim. And... yeah, so it just wasn't working. I mean, we go to bars and cafes. That's where we go. We go to bars and cafes. We sit there and we have chats in the cafes. Oui, j'aime beaucoup le café noir. Oui, très fort et très chaud. Avec un cuillère dedans. Ah, le virage de la cuillère, le virage de la poitrine. Je mets la cuillère dans la bouche. Je suis le président de Burundi. Ah oui, Burundi, je le connais bien. Oui, c'est tout près de Zaïre, oui. Tout près de Mozambique. Non, Tanzanie. Oui, je les appris quand j'ai la bourse de poulet. Je dois partir maintenant parce que ma grand-mère est flambée. If you don't speak French, by the way, all that was fucking funny, all right? We go and get hotel rooms for the night. Vous avez une chambre, monsieur? Oui, nous avons les chambres. Nous sommes un hôtel. Okay. Je voudrais une chambre avec un grand lit, a large bed, avec un vue de la mer, view of the sea, avec une douche with a spider. Oui, monsieur. C'est chambre 42, monsieur. 42, merci beaucoup. Mais la souris est en-dessous de la table. Le chat est sur la chaise. Et le singe est sur la branche. Quoi? Il y a un singe sur la branche? Le chat, la souris? Où est le singe? Le singe est sur la branche. Est-ce que le singe est dans la chambre? Non. Le singe n'est pas dans la chambre. Michel est dans la chambre. Avec le président de Burundi. In the end, the only way I could get that line into a conversation was I had to go to France with a cat, a mouse, a monkey, a table and chair. And wander around heavily wooded areas. Someone's coming, quick. Positions, les positions, maintenant. Boulot, tout de suite. Vas-y. Bonjour. Hey, bonjour. Qu'est-ce qui se passe? Bonjour, je suis anglais, je suis ici en vacances. C'est très belle ici, les couleurs, les bois. Ah, très belle. Hein? Tu es un travesti? Oui, je suis un travesti, mais pas un travesti typical. Je suis un travesti exécutif. Un travesti d'action. Très bien. Mais la souris est en dessous de la table. Le chat est sur la chaise. Et le singe est... Et... Le singe est disparu. Because the monkey would fuck off. He'd go and do his own thing. It was a bloody monkey. He was a cheeky monkey. And he knew my French wasn't very good, so he'd go off and do things. Ah, le singe est là-bas maintenant. Regarde, il est sur une bicyclette. Il joue au banjo. Et fume une pipe. Maintenant, il arrête, il lit un journal. Il lit un journal, ici. Et maintenant, il est dans l'autobus. Il conduit l'autobus. Et Sandra Bullock est dans l'autobus. Il y a une bombe dans l'autobus. Il faut conduire l'autobus plus de 50 km par l'heure. Et Keanu Reeves, là, il arrive dans la voiture. Il n'a pas de cheveux. Et Jeff Daniels est déjà mort. Regarde, il essaie de se jeter dans l'autobus. Et Dennis Hopper, oh, Dennis Hopper, quel méchant. That was the film Speed in French. Which in France was called La Vitesse. Or at least it should have been, but in fact it was called Speed. Yeah. So, in conclusion, ladies and jelly spoons, America, you have the American dream. You have the American dream. We haven't got the European dream yet. That's what we've got to get. We've got to get a dream to build on. You have the American dream. The dream is to be born in the gutter and raised and grow up and get all the money in the world and stick it in your ears and go... A fantastic dream of money in your ears and swimming through fibers. The American dream. In Europe, I don't know, we haven't got a dream yet. The dream was... flag. No. Hilda, wake up, Hilda. What is it, Dr. Heimlich? You're waking up type person. I've dreamed the European dream. I dreamt that every country in Europe spoke a different language and they hated each other. Oh, that's true, isn't it? Yeah. That was the dream. But now, maybe now, the dream is to be in the south of Europe, to be in Greece, in Italy, in Spain, and to be on a moped with no helmet on, riding along going, ciao. That's a pretty cool dream. It's not much of a dream, but it's as good as we got so far. And it's pretty funky, because when you die... You look a mess. But, I don't know. I just like it. Because you're on a fucking hair dryer for God's sake. So there's dogs walking faster than you. It's just pretty damn cool for me. That's the European dream. Thank you very much. Good night.